Radio Prague News. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has welcomed the agreement on migration reached in Brussels. The Imoba company, successor to the Stork's Nest farm and hotel compound, has returned the 50 million crown EU subsidy over which Prime Minister Andrej Babiš faces criminal prosecution. And the 53rd edition of the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival opens in the West Bohemia spa town on Friday night. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has welcomed the agreement on migration reached after hours of gruelling negotiations in Brussels. In a joint statement, EU leaders agree to set up asylum processing centres in and outside of Europe and restrict migrant moves within the bloc. The asylum processing centres in Europe would be set up on a voluntary basis by willing member states. There was also consensus on the need to tighten the EU's external borders and boost the fight against people smugglers. The Czech Prime Minister, who has vehemently opposed mandatory migrant quotas, said the agreement was a huge success for the Visegrad Group's common policy. The Imoba company, successor to the Stork's Nest farm and hotel compound, has returned the 50 million crown EU subsidy over which Prime Minister Andrej Babiš faces criminal prosecution. Babiš and six others are suspected of having illegally acquired the grant for the Stork's Nest farm and compound, which was then part of his multi-billion crown empire after orchestrating a fake transfer of ownership to enable it to qualify for a grant intended for small and medium-sized businesses. The return of the subsidy will not influence the prosecution. If convicted, Andrej Babiš could face up to 10 years in prison. The 53rd edition of the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival will open with a gala ceremony in the West Bohemian spa town on Friday evening. Over the next 9 days, the festival will screen close to 200 movies. The biggest name at the opening ceremony will be the Hollywood actor Tim Robbins, who is going to receive Karlovy Vary's Crystal Globe for outstanding contribution to world cinema. President Zeman's refusal to appoint Social Democrat nominee Miroslav Poche to the post of foreign minister remains at the center of controversy in the Czech Republic. Both members of the Social Democratic Party and opposition MPs are demanding an explanation as to who was on the Prime Minister's list of ministerial candidates and whether the president overstepped his powers by refusing to make the appointment, which he is bound to do under Czech law. Prime Minister Babiš said on Friday that he had sent the president a list of candidates on which Poche was nominated for the foreign ministry portfolio, as well as a subsequent letter saying that if Poche was not appointed, the post could be temporarily filled by party leader Jan Hamáček. Adding to the confusion, President Zeman told TV Prima on Thursday that he had received two lists, one nominating Miroslav Poche and the other Jan Hamáček to the post of foreign minister. Hamáček said earlier the Social Democrats would not push for court action over the president's refusal to appoint their nominee, preferring to resolve the matter through dialogue. Hundreds of people attended the funeral of war hero Pavel Vranský, who died last week at the age of 97. Vranský was one of the last remaining Czechs who served with Britain's RAF during World War II. The funeral, with military honours, was attended by Deputy Prime Minister Jan Hamáček, army officials and war veterans. Finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Saturday should be clear to partly cloudy, with day temperatures between 19 and 23 degrees Celsius. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the Czech Prime Minister hails the EU agreement on migrants as a huge success for Visegrad Group policy. And the 53rd Karlovy Vary International Film Festival kicks off in the West Bohemian spa town. Later on, how does the Czech Republic come to have tundra landscape? All that ahead, so please stay with us. Czech Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has hailed the agreement on migration reached after 9 hours of gruelling talks at an EU summit in Brussels as a huge success for the Visegrad Group's common policy. The newly appointed head of government, who has vehemently fought the idea of mandatory quotas, said the focus had shifted, with the accent now on voluntary cooperation and the need to resolve the migrant crisis outside of Europe. The Czech Prime Minister went into the EU talks with a clear agenda, sticking to the common position of the Visegrad Group states that Europe must revise its approach to the migrant crisis by abandoning the idea of mandatory quotas, enforced solidarity and sanctions, and waking up to the fact that the migrant crisis must be resolved outside the European continent. The Czech Republic has lobbied for the setting up of asylum processing centres in northern Africa, where economic migrants could be weeded out from refugees, and stressed the need to do much more to fight people smugglers, for whom the crisis has become a lucrative business. The Prime Minister stressed that Europe's problem was that many EU leaders simply accepted the fact that migrants were streaming to Europe, and then frantically sought a solution when they were here. It is time to stop the boats, Babiš stressed. At the end of a tense night of talks which failed to disguise the deep rifts over the migrant issue and threats from Italy to block the summit's conclusions on all issues, EU leaders reached a compromise solution. They agreed to set up asylum processing centres in and outside of Europe and restrict migrant movement within the bloc. And they made it clear that all this would be carried out on a voluntary basis by willing member states. The Czech Prime Minister said this was highly satisfactory.
The Visegrad Group was able to push through all it intended, meaning no quotas, that any relocation of migrants would only take place on a voluntary basis, and that Europe will try to set up hotspots outside of Europe as well.
The Prime Minister particularly welcomed the agreement to tighten the EU's external border and increase financing for Turkey, Morocco and other North African states to prevent migration to Europe. He said the fact that migrant hotspots or processing centres would be set up outside of Europe was a positive move that must go hand in hand with renewed efforts to fight people smugglers. The Czech Prime Minister, who stirred controversy ahead of the summit by suggesting that NGOs were assisting the smugglers in their lucrative business, said he had heard similar views at the summit from other officials. His words elicited a sharp response from the head of the Czech branch of Doctors Without Borders, Pavel Gruber, who said the organization had a choice between saving lives and letting thousands of people drown. Moving on now, the 53rd edition of the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival will kick off with a glitzy opening ceremony on Friday evening. Over the next 8 days, the spa town in West Bohemia will be the centre of the domestic arts world, with many tens of thousands of people flocking to the festival from the Czech Republic and further afield. Ian Willoughby is in Karlovy Vary for the duration of the festival and joins me now on the line from there. Ian, so what can we expect from Friday's opening?
Well, Daniela, I'm by the red carpet here at Hotel Termal, which is the centre of the festival. And in a few hours' time, thousands of people will be here to cheer on all the stars as they arrive by the red carpet. The biggest name at the opening will be the Hollywood actor Tim Robbins. The listeners may know from movies like The Shawshank Redemption. Tim Robbins is going to get the festival's Crystal Globe for outstanding contribution to world cinema. And unusually this evening, the curtain raiser will be an old film. It's going to be Loves of a Blonde by Miloš Forman. And that screening is a tribute to the great director, who of course died in April. And I'm sure for many people that will be quite an emotional experience. And then after that, right, again, in front of the terminal here, there's going to be a free concert of music from Forman's movies performed by the Czech National Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Libor Pešek.
Right, what about the films this year? What can people look forward to?
Well, as always, there are hundreds of films to choose from, including a dozen in the main competition. Also, of course, there's the documentary competition and East of the West, which is in some ways Karlovy Vary's flagship section. Karlovy Vary really prides itself on opening up films from Eastern Europe to kind of broader international audiences. But really, the selection of films here is very broad, including a number of classic movies, So there's really something for everybody, if they can find tickets, that is, because that isn't always easy.
Ian, you mentioned Tim Robbins. Who were the other big names at Carlo Vivari this year?
Well, just 2 days ago, the festival announced that the Hollywood actor Robert Pattinson will be coming to the closing ceremony on Saturday week. And he's a really huge star, especially with younger audiences. So I'm sure we can expect some screaming when he arrives on the red carpet. Another quite big name is Richard Linklater, the American director. He's known for films like Slacker or Boyhood. And he's also coming this evening to the opening. Later in the festival, we'll see directors like Barry Levinson, who did Rain Man, and Terry Gilliam, who's a member of Monty Python and has made movies like Brazil. And as well as those kind of established names, there'll be many, many more guests from around the world presenting all sorts of movies to the enthusiastic, predominantly young audience here in Carlo Vivari.
Right. Ian Willoughby on the line there from Carlo Vivari. Thank you very much, Ian. And Ian will be sending us regular reports from the Carlo Vivari Film Festival, so look out for them. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. In most people's minds, the treeless landscape of the tundra is usually associated with Arctic countries somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. But in fact, you can also come across the tundra here in the Czech Republic, that is, in the giant mountains in the northeast of the country. Just how exactly has tundra developed in the heart of Europe? Ruth Frankova has more.
The Krkonoše Mountains in the north of the Czech Republic are home to the country's biggest national park and one of the most popular tourist destinations. But not many visitors are aware that there is a natural treasure hidden in the midst of the mountains, the Arcto-Alpine tundra. A new campaign entitled Krkonoše, Tundra in the Heart of Europe, is trying to change that. I spoke to Jakub Kašpar, the deputy head of the Krkonoše National Park, and I first asked him to tell me a few words about the tundra biome.
The most understandable definition should be that it is a biotope which is characterized by absence of forest or high forest. So it's forest-free biotope, which is usually placed on the northeast areas of the continents, in Arctic areas behind the polar circle. But there are some very few exceptions, and the Krkonoše Mountains is one of those exceptions, and it is due to the prehistory of the region.
So how exactly did the Arctic alpine tundra develop in the heart of Europe? As you said, one would associate it with other parts of the world, with the Northern Hemisphere, with the Alps.
It was due to the very large glacier, which covered the northern part of Europe 20,000 years ago. And the end of the glacier was some 30 kilometers north from the Krkonoše Mountains range. In that time, the climate in the Krkonoše Mountains was very similar to what we can see in Arctic now. And the mountains themselves were covered by the mountain glaciers. Therefore, the average temperatures were very low and the summer period was very short. And in that time, the biodiversity as well as the geological diversity formed to the form of the Krkonoše tundra or Arcto-Alpine tundra. And it is due to the fact that the special composition of species and the geomorphological forms of the landscape combine phenomena from the Arctic tundra with phenomena which are specific for higher mountains. And this is also due to the fact that Krkonoše Mountains are located on a very special area, because north from the mountain range, there is no other mountain range up to the sea. So all the winds which are coming from north and northwest stop just on the mountain range of Krkonoše Mountains. And therefore, the climate is much tougher than climate would be in such an altitude. So if you were in Alps or in Caucasus, for example, at the level of 1,500 meters above the sea level, you will see forests or pastures. But here in the Krkonoše Mountains, you have tundra ecosystems.
What kind of vegetation and animals are typical for that landscape? And are there some unique animal or plant species that can only be found in the Krkonoše tundra?
Yes, there are two very important groups of plants and animal species which are recognized here in the Krkonoše tundra as one of the most valuable things why the national park was declared here. And one of the group is called glacial relics. These are species which are, for example, in northern Scandinavia, absolutely common, like the bird which is called blue throat, or a plant which is called cloudberry. In Finland, you can buy ice creams or jam from cloudberries. But here in the Krkonoše Mountains, it is 800 kilometers to south, the only place in the world the cloudberry grows and also fruits. And in the same time, there is the northest place in the world where dwarf pine grows. And altogether, they create a special kind of biotope, which is called dwarf pine cloudberry ecosystem. And the second group I was speaking about is the endemic species. There are several of them here in the Krkonoše Mountains. Just to give an example, we have a special kind of sorbus tree here, which is a combination of two other species which are quite common in Central Europe. And they created naturally the new species, which is called Sorbus sudetica. And you can find it only in the Krkonoše Mountains and even in one small part of the mountain.
What part of the national park is actually taken up by tundra?
Not so clear, because it depends on what we exactly take into the what we are calling tundra. If we are speaking about only the top parts of the mountain range, or if we also speak about the glacial cirques in the glacial valleys here in the Krkonoše Mountains. But altogether, we can say that it is about 10 or 12% of the national park area.
And is it normally accessible by tourists, or is it a subject to a stricter protection?
There is a special protection regulation regarding the core zones of the national park in all the Czech Republic. It is not connected specially to tundra. And it says that in the core zone of the national park, or it is called first zone of the national park, you are not allowed to step away from the marked tourist road. And it is the same in tundra, but it is quite well accessible, I think, here in the Krkonoše Mountains through the market route network, which is quite dense here in the Krkonoše Mountains. So people can experience tundra and its phenomena on their own, and it is not tricky to touch all the phenomena of tundra personally by their hands and to experience it by their senses.
You have recently launched a month-long campaign to promote tundra in Krkonoše. It's called Krkonoše Tundra in the Heart of Europe. What are the main goals of this project?
You know, the Krkonoše Mountains is not only area of tundra. It's the area of the national park, but it's also the area which is very traditionally used for sports and recreation. In the Krkonoše Mountains, that was the area where skiing started in 1870s and where tourism started in 1850s. And the tradition of sports, recreation and tourism here is very long. And in a common sense, especially in the Czech Republic, when you say Krkonoše, the common idea would appear that, okay, it's the skiing area. And we would like to shift it a bit, to stress much more that there is something what is nowhere else in the world, and that's Krkonoše Tundra. And that's the main reason why we have started, with the help of so-called Norwegian funds, that campaign Krkonoše Tundra in the Heart of Europe, to put the topic of tundra more to the interest of the general public. And that one-month campaign is only a start. We will promote tundra and its phenomena and its values throughout all the year 2016. So all next year, it will be our main communication subject.
So what will the project include?
The project itself includes the campaign with advertisements in media, in print. It includes also roadshow, which is traveling through 5 big Czech towns or cities. It is just now in Liberec, and there are tents on the main squares of those cities, and in the tent people can receive some information and knowledge about tundra and its ecosystems and its species and so on. They can also, children especially, can paint some paintings of how they imagine tundra and its species. And from those paintings and verses, we plan to publish a book next year. People can meet, they can ask some questions about tundra and so on. That's the one-month campaign. And then we will, of course, continue by our normal work, but we will stress much more the topic and issue of tundra than normally.
Finally, you told me that tundra has developed due to unique climate conditions. Is it currently threatened by the changing climate conditions, for instance, by global warming? Have you noticed any changes taking place in recent years?
Unfortunately, Krkonoshe tundra can be really threatened by climate change, and we already face some changes. Statistically, we can see quite a huge change in the average temperature during the year. So if we take it some 30 years ago, the average temperature change is in percents. It's up to 3 grades change during 30 years, and it's quite huge. We can see also changes in biodiversity that, for example, ticks are going up. Some 20 years ago, it was not normal to see tick in the mountains, spruce forest. Nowadays, it's quite a common thing. Wild boars are going up. It's not only because of the climate change, but of course also because of the high numbers of wild boars in the Czech Republic. And also the forest tree line is going up to the mountains. So if the climate change will continue, as predicted by Intergovernmental Panel for Climate Change, we are really afraid that it can really threaten the Krkonoshe tundra and its existence.
Jakub Kašpar, deputy head of the Krkonoshe National Park, ending that report by Ruth Frankova. And I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, please send a mail to english@radio.cz. And of course, you can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Zerová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.